Well, good morning, Redemption Church. I want to welcome those of you who have braved the cold, windy, dark day. Got people here in blankets, some smart people, and other people here in shorts. I'm not quite sure what that's all about. But those of you who are joining us at home on Facebook Live, we want to welcome you too. Thank you for being with us this morning, and it is good to meet. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And I don't think Sunday is the sum total of that verse, but it is a significant part of that verse, that we meet together to use our gifts, to be instructed together, to fellowship together, and excited to be back with you today as we hopefully continue to move forward towards moving back to a full gathering inside. We just want to welcome you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and trust that His peace and His grace are meeting you this morning. This morning, what we want to do is just take about 45 minutes and come together for a time of word and prayer, a time for instruction in the Word of God, to hear from God together, and then to pray to God as we close our time. And so if you have your Bibles or your phones, you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 4 is where we want to spend some time looking at some significant and I think very important points about where we're at as a church in our current situation. And as you turn to Ephesians chapter 4, this is undoubtedly true that we are in some certainly weird days. These days are really strange. Days that none of us have probably ever really experienced before. And I don't know about you, but there's been a lot of good that's gone on in these days. I don't know if you've had time to reflect and to be home and to spend extra time with your family. I almost kind of like this idea of not being super crazy busy your whole day, right? I mean, those are good things, to reflect, to take some Sabbath, to, in a sense, as we say at our house, like start building out as we're able to new rhythms of life, not just do things that we've just always been doing. And so I think there's a lot of good, and I think there's also been a lot of things to lament. There's a lot of things to be sad about, whether that be people that we know are dying or people that we don't know that are dying. Businesses being closed, people losing their jobs. These are things to be sad and to lament about in our culture. We should be sad that our kids are home all day getting on our nerves, right? And I'm just kidding. No, I've really enjoyed having my kids been home. It's been a challenge, but it's been great to have that time together. And we probably, to some degree or another, can resonate with a lot of these things I've just said, like the really good things that this quarantine has produced in us. And we can probably resonate with a lot of the hardships and struggles that we've had during these times. And not that I am like a prophet or a son of a prophet or that I'm all doom and gloom, but I think there are some more challenging days ahead. And one of the challenges, and I think maybe the most important challenge, I'm not going to die on a hill for the most important, but I'm going to put it way up there, is what I want to look at this morning from Ephesians chapter 4. I think the greatest challenge the church will face, and particularly Redemption Church in the coming days, is the challenge to love one another. The challenge to not be disunified. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says this, "As a prisoner, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble." I mean, did you have to go all the way, Paul? Like, completely humble? Paul says, "Be completely humble, completely gentle, be patient, bear with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." I think we need to hear these words, especially in these times, because unraveling before our eyes even more and more is a division going on in our country over this corona world. There's a division whether to freak out or it's no big deal. Do we wear masks or we don't wear masks? You can find studies on both that are different every single day, right? Do you know when you come bring your groceries home, do you have to spray it down or not spray it down? Last I heard, you don't have to. Are ventilators helpful Are they killing people? Are hospitals full or are they not full? Is this just like the flu or different than the flu? And we could go on and on with all of these divisions, these things we don't know about what is happening in our culture. And I just ask this question, which side are you on? And how many of you say you take the balanced view? Right? That's what I love is it used to be the church's word is we're balanced. Well, I just like, who got to use the metric of what's balanced? No one wants to say they live out of balance. But what I actually want to warn our church against, and I want us to be in prayer about, is that the church does not continue in the way that our country is going in this division. That the church would actually come together and be unified and to be loving towards one another. And I want us to be very clear that the enemy wants to destroy the church. I want to be very clear that the enemy wants to come in and sow wheat in the days that we actually are in right now. And we need to be on guard against this enemy. We need to ask God to not lead us into temptation. And Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 is dealing with a young church that has a lot of pagan backgrounds. And they're coming together with all these different ideas of what life should look like and what worship should look like. A lot like we are experiencing in our day. And Paul tells this young church to be completely humble, to continually pursue looking for the interests of others, putting their ideas, their interests above our own. Paul says, spare no efforts. Make it a priority of your life to maintain the unity of the spirits. Okay, and I can't emphasize enough Paul's in the Greek here, this deep conviction. He says, our calling is to be unified. To make every effort to keep the unity. And Paul makes this effort in this way. He says, you keep it, you don't have to create it. And I don't know if you understand that difference, but Paul doesn't say we have to come together and find something to be unified about. He's actually saying the Spirit has already given us a unity. That Spirit has given us a unity around the gospel. He's given us a unity around that we are called to be witnesses of that gospel. And so we're not looking for unity with one another. The Spirit has already created that. And what the evil one wants to do is come in and disrupt that. And Paul says we need to make every effort to love our brothers and sisters, to be unified with them around the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a high demand that Paul is making of the church. That they don't make every effort to have good Sunday gatherings. They don't make every effort to do whatever we're doing in our everyday life. But Paul's call for the church over and over again is loving unity. There are two masks that we need to not wear. And these two masks that we put on actually, I think, rob us of loving each other. Rob us of actually being a unified church. The first mask that we often put on is the mask of fear. It doesn't take long to look in our world and to see the fear unraveling. But if we're very honest with ourselves, you can actually see the fear unraveling in yourself. You can see the constant upheaval in your own soul of what's happening and the fear of the unknown. Fear does not allow us to live in ways that act in loving unity. Fear says things like this, I cannot do anything. I can't go anywhere. I can't do this. I can't do that because I'm afraid of what is going to happen to me. I'm uncertain what's going to happen in the world. I don't know what's going to happen to our government. I don't know what's going to happen to our school system. And we live in this fear. And the scriptures tell us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of what? A power of love and of a sound mind. Some of us sometimes run when we get in these places and wear a mask of fear. Another mask that we often wear and run to on the other side of the world is the mask of arrogance. Arrogance says things in our world like this, is I don't really care about others. I just want to do what I want to do. I want to go where I want to go. I want to have the cup of coffee where I want to have the cup of coffee. I want to do what I want to do and not lovingly looking out for the interests of others. So we do whatever we want. I asked this of you this morning, which mask do you run to? Do you run to put on a mask of fear or do you run to wear a mask of arrogance? Me, I'll just be honest with you, if you know anything about me, this won't surprise you. I wear a mask of arrogance. I'm going to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, and not worry about the consequences until they come. Right? That's me. That's my natural inclination in these days, is to live not thinking about others, but to think about me. And I have all the good reasons why I do that. Okay? Whether it be like the stats that say how many people recover from this. Like, and I'm not saying that's wrong. Does that make sense? In a sense, that can be arrogant. I have the stats, not the stats, I have like the Christian Bible verses that say don't live in fear, and so I pull out those verses and those are my trump card. If you live in fear, you have your own reasons why you live in fear, and you have your own Bible verses that you misuse to justify the mask that you're wearing. But whether you're wearing the mask of arrogance or whether you're wearing the mask of fear, I want to say this, is that both are selfish. Both are self-centered attitudes. Both rob us of the church, of actually being the church and lovingly being unified around the gospel. See, critical and defensive spirits are just masks of self-righteousness. And I want to akin this, that when the church, as we try to come together and as the people who are arrogant and the people who are fearful, the people who are living these ways, okay, when we come together, it is going to be very hard to be lovingly unified with people who think way differently than you do. Does that make sense? And I want to say this very clear. Can you live, in a sense, can you stay at home, take all the guidelines, be super cautious and not live in fear? Can you do that? Yes. Can you go out into the world and do things without being arrogant? Yes. That's not the issue. The issue is, are we going to actually come together and say what is central to our unity is the gospel of peace? Paul says at the end of verse 3, what binds all of this together is the shalom, the peace, the gospel that we actually unite around. It will be amazing when the church can actually come together, think differently about things, but come together and be unified and have a bond of peace around the gospel. See, both are selfish. Both are self-interested things where I'm afraid that if we're not careful, we're going to be critical of others. We're going to say, you don't understand. You're not going to come and like try to see where they're coming from. We're just going to have this critical spirit. And some of you, when I say this before, some of you are like, well, can I critique other people? Yes, it's like judging other people. Can you judge other people? Yeah, but you better do it really well and very carefully because you're going to be judged the same way. When I say critical spirits, I'm like, you're actually not being kind. And so we're going to be critical and that's going to rob us of unity. We're not in our critical spirits working and giving every effort to keep the spirits. But what also happens is when people critique us, what's our number one defense mechanism? Put up some walls and guard ourselves and be very defensive. And I'm promising you that defensiveness and critical spirits towards each other in the church over this issue as we seek to come back together is something Satan is going to use, is using, and we need to actually stop and pray. See, here's where the rubber hits the road. Is that these two masks have all the potential to corrupt and destroy the church. And the good news is this, is that if you're tempted to wear the mask of fear, we come running back to the gospel to remove that mask. We come back to the good news. We look to Jesus and we say, Jesus, you can actually take away all of my fear and I can live in confidence that you are a good king who is controlling all the things of my life for my good. We can actually come and believe things like Matthew and Luke that say, can any of you add any days to your life by worrying? And so we don't have to live in fear because we know that there is one who has died for us to remove all of that fear. And we, those of us who are more in the arrogant side of the mask, we remove our mask and have a mask of loving unity, a face of loving unity, by running to the cross and seeing that the only person, I knew the train would come. The gospel tells us that the only person who could ever claim to have arrogance and to live perfectly and to live righteously and to have actually a claim of pride is the one who actually humbled himself for you. The one who has all the rights to go out and to judge other people and to say you're not living right is the one and the only one who humbled himself on the cross so that you could actually love one another. See, if we continue to seek to remove our mask of fear and arrogance by running to Jesus and asking him to give us a face of love and unity, this is what Paul wants for the churches. Paul wants the church in Ephesus and the church here in Redemption Church, the church in Chesapeake, the church in Hampton Roads to be united around the good news of Jesus. Because he knows the witness of Jesus is at stake. And I believe that even in the coming days, we have the ability, not just with our church, but with the churches in Hampton Roads, to actually maybe disagree on certain things, but to actually come around each other and love one another, and in our differences, be completely humble and make every effort to love and to keep the unity so that we can actually give a true picture of our triune God and the way he relates to us. And so I just have been burdened by this, that we would actually be a people who would look at Ephesians chapter 4 and say, will I humble myself, try to, by putting my faith in the gospel, remove my mask of fear and arrogance and wear a face of loving unity for the sake of Jesus and his kingdom? And will we do that as a church? I think that's what Jesus would want us to hear this morning. That he is here to remove your fear, to remove your arrogance, to give you shalom, to give you peace, to give you flourishing by loving one another in our differences. So I want to encourage us that we do all of this because Ephesians chapter 4 says there's one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Church, we are one. And we have one God who is ruling in all, over all, and through all. So Jesus, thank you for letting us meet this morning. It's been a joy just to be together in this short time. And as we continue to pray, now I just pray that you would meet with us and help us remove our masks of fear and arrogance and to wear our faces of loving unity, to set aside our own interests for the sake of others, and that we would actually be able to be the church in these weird, strange days. And so we bless you and thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everybody. It's really great to see you all. Thanks for coming out, as Scott said, and I just really appreciated what Scott was sharing about our call to unity in this time, and just really thankful for you guys being here, for the people that are joining us online, and for a picture of what this is to our own hearts and to the world, that the Church of Jesus actually is able to be unified in times that are tearing many people apart. And that's kind of what we want to take some time now, specifically pray through a couple different categories that I have for us. What I'll do is I'll kind of introduce a category for prayer, and then you guys can just even within your own family groups or maybe with some folks around you, just take a couple minutes and pray for that, and then I'll close us in prayer in that section, and we'll move along to another section of prayer. Does that make sense? Okay, so the first area that I want to lead us in prayer for is for those in leadership, we want to pray, and we specifically want to pray for healing. We want to pray for anyone in a position of leadership at this time, whether that's at a local city level, a state level, level of our whole country, both government officials, but then also church leaders that we know of that are having to make some really hard decisions in really trying times. So definitely pray for those leaders, but I would love it if we could even just pray for our fellow Soma churches, specifically along the East Coast, churches that we have a lot of relationship with in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Massachusetts, and Maine. As well as the leadership side, we also want to pray for healing. We want to pray for a vaccine to be created that would bring healing and that justice would be accomplished in the wake of so much harm that's hurting many people right now. So let's just take a couple minutes. You guys can pray for that, and then I'll close in prayer and we'll move on to another section. Father, we do pray for those in leadership that you would give an increased abundance of wisdom, that we would not live in fear and courage as we seek to lead our own families, as we seek to lead those that we're in life with. But Jesus, we ask that you would be our wisdom, that you would give us clarity, that you would give us unity, that you would show us how to step out in faith in this season. And God, we do also ask for your mercy, that you would provide healing, that you would provide wisdom to people that are seeking to find ways to heal those who are still sick. We pray for a vaccine, and God, we ask that your hand of mercy in the midst of this suffering would be really clear to us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, next we want to pray specifically for just for the people that are affected by this in a lot of different ways, and I kind of want to explain what I mean. This season of life has been hard for us in a lot of different ways. Each of you in your own families, in your jobs, you've experienced hardship and suffering in different ways. A lot of people have actual health issues that have been compromised. There's a lot of people who are older, who are higher at risk. Many people have lost jobs, lost transportation, lost coworkers, lost childcare, lost the ability to provide and live life in the normal ways. And that's a grief. That is something, as Scott said, that is something for us to lament. Many of you have had to learn to homeschool your kids on the fly, which that is hard. That is frustrating, I'm sure. But there's also just the grief that's happening, that's almost happening in some sinister ways, where there's that grief that we see, but then there's other grief of people who are losing loved ones and aren't able to be with them. In my own family, several weeks ago, Jana lost her grandfather actually to the COVID-19 virus. And if that wasn't hard enough of losing a grandparent, none of the family was able to travel to be together or even be there for the funeral service. And that's a real grief. That's a real loss. We have other friends that we know really well who have been trying to conceive a baby for about 7 years now. They finally conceived a baby 9 months ago in the wake of getting ready for coronavirus. And then a month before the baby was due, the husband catches COVID. And he's not able to be there when his own wife is giving birth to their baby that they've been trying to have for several years. That's a grief. That's affecting people. And these are real losses and real pains that maybe some of you experienced, but maybe you haven't experienced those yet. But we want to pray for all of the different ways that people have been affected personally, emotionally, physically, and even spiritually by this. We want to pray for continued mercy and healing. So why don't we just take a couple minutes now, and you can just pray for the people that you know by name who have been affected, and even those who maybe you don't know, but you know of, who've been affected in some different ways. Let's take time now and pray for that. In this area, God, we do ask that you would show yourself to us as the healer and the comforter that we are. God, you tell us by name that you are the healer, that you are the great comforter who comforts us in every bit of suffering that we encounter. So Jesus, we ask that you, by your Spirit, would bring healing to the losses in our own life, that you would actually give us increased faith to understand that the suffering we're experiencing, the losses that we're walking through, are not void of your hand, that we can actually see your continued faithfulness to us, even in the midst of suffering, because you have shown that you're committed to us in Jesus. God, we ask that you would continually in this season direct our eyes to Jesus, who himself is the author and perfecter of our faith through suffering. Pray, Jesus, that you would keep us tender and soft towards you. In Jesus' name, amen. Next, we want to specifically pray for our own missional communities in our church. Something that Scott and I were talking about the other day is that God would use our missional communities in this season of life to live boldly, to live creatively, and that we would actually see at least one person come to faith in each MC this year and be baptized in the name of Jesus. So what we want to do now is just have you guys break into groups and just pray again, specifically for our different missional communities represented. You can pray for the one that you associate with, but you can also pray for different ones in our church by name. Pray for the families that you know of and ask that God would use us in this season to increasingly be witnesses, to be creative in the ways that we gather and lead and serve each other. And ultimately that within our MCs that our faith and our hope wouldn't be found in the headlines, but that our faith and hope would be found in Jesus. So let's pray now for our MCs in our church. Prayer in this. Father God, we do ask that you would continue to be at work in our missional communities, that we would continue to share stories of how we're seeing God, you intervene in the lives of our church and in our communities that we represent. God, we do ask for continued unity even within the missional communities that we have, where some of us may disagree on what to trust or not to trust, of how to live or how not to live. God, we do ask that unity around the good news of Jesus would be what we are known for, and that what we continue to push into each other's lives in this time. God, I do ask that you would continue to meet us with faith, with creativity, of how we can even be engaged in mission still together. We ask Jesus again that you would help us to continually direct our gaze to you as our good news and not to headlines. Though we do pray for better news, Jesus, we already have the best news possible. And we thank you and praise you for that. Amen. All right, this last area we want to pray for is for the church at large around the world. This is the fourth Sunday of the month, which is when we always take time to talk about the global church and God's mission advancing around the world. Many of you here are probably reading through the New Testament in 90 days with us, and we just finished up the book of Acts, which was amazing to read in this season of life, of seeing the gospel advance to people, to groups, to different demographics, to different geographies, often always through suffering. If there would be an arising of suffering and the church would advance and grow, there would be people persecuted and they would move to another town and the good news of Jesus was spread around the known world at the time through the apostles, through the disciples leading in the midst of suffering. And so we know that the church around the world that is always being persecuted, even now in this time, there is an increased level of suffering. So we want to pray for the church around the world. Churches that are experiencing suffering in ways that we are not familiar with. But we want to pray that we would actually see God's mission advance to places that it's never been, even through this season of life. So why don't you guys just take a couple minutes and pray there, and then we'll wrap up with a benediction. I'm going to close this in prayer for this. God, we do ask that your kingdom would advance in this time of global suffering. God, we know, even seeing historically and even seeing in the life of Jesus himself, that your mission advances through suffering, that you don't often take us around suffering, but you take us directly through it. So God, we ask that in our own hearts, in our own faith, in our own belief, Jesus, your kingdom would advance and that you would use us, you'd use your church in America, you'd use your church all around the world to advance the good news of Jesus and the story of God to those who have not yet heard it. God, I ask for those who are living in fear, for those leaders that are living in fear, for the people, for the families around the world, Lord, that are being persecuted and are pushed into places of fear. God, I do ask that you would embolden them, that they would find deep courage and renewed faith, even in the midst of suffering, to hold even tighter onto the truth of who we are in Jesus and the fact that his hold has never left us and that he has given his own blood to show us that he never will. I pray, God, that even in this time of the world experiencing groaning and moaning to be renewed, God, that you would continually shift our eyes to unity, but also to new creation that is coming. And God, we ask that that would fill us with hope to continue to be your people in the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you guys stand with me? going to read a closing benediction for us before we release you. And thank you for those of you who have joined us online as well. As Israel was in the desert, as they were traveling in the middle of a land they didn't know to a land that they did not know, Moses received a word from the Lord that was then given to Joshua and then to all of God's people. And this is in Deuteronomy 31. It says, Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Thanks a lot for being with us, guys. Have a great rest of your day.